All right.
Muted.
Good evening and welcome to all those who participate on this call, on this show, through BBS Radio online, as BBS. Principal people here, and correct, Wynn, BBS is not a moderator at this point. Usually they are.
But since they're not talking to us, I think it doesn't matter, right?
That is correct, yes. Unless they would have an issue, they cannot speak up.
Right. Right.
So... Okay. All right, the dings are off. It's 6:01. I haven't seen Terry come in yet.
She's being a prima donna.
All right.
Terry, are you there?
No, she's not here. Unless she's not a moderator, but I didn't see her line come in. And Wynn?
Hmm.
I will have to leave here shortly. My mother-in-law is in town. I will stay online, but I need to participate in dinner.
It's family time. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to ask your question early, okay?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Okay. We'll fit that in. That's one of the perks that Hives gets for doing that. Every 3 years, we let them ask a question. And I promise to ask it. Hang on. Let me get Terry.
All right. So, in the meantime, I have not seen the email. What's going on in the house?
I have to call them again, okay?
Okay. I was not going to mention that, but... We have a bunch of questions tonight, I guess, and we'll wait for Terry to join in. We have a bunch of people on the call here on the conference call line, and I thank you all, those who call in and also those who are participating over BBS online, and it's just grateful to be with all of you. I also want to say thanks to the person who is... paying for us to be on BBS Radio. That's just awesome. That's a big gift to us, to everyone who is listening to this, particularly on BBS. And
okay, Terry will be on in a second. She said, "Is it 6 already?" Are you there, Terry?
You're not here yet, no.
All right. Now, I'm getting all these emails from people that say they like it when I talk. And then I get emails from people that say, "When, you talk too much. Why don't you let the Elohim talk?" And then, of course, "Where's Carla? Where's Terry?" Terry is doing good. You know, one of the interesting things, and some people don't know this, and some people get it, but I'm really not doing this for attention. I am seeking attention because it's my take that I've watched how people change and grow around this work, and if I don't go out and rattle some trees, the people that would wish they had found it are not going to find it, okay? So then somebody else will perceive that as Wynn is looking for attention, which I'm not. In fact, you know, it's that I happen to be good at the job. I'm willing to stick my foot in my mouth, and I usually can get it out before... I get in too much trouble.
Welcome, Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Did I get in as a moderator?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You look beautiful this evening, Terry. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Terry, do you ever stick your foot in your mouth?
Oh, usually several times a day.
Several times a day?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You usually don't do it when you're channeling, though, do you?
No, yeah, but that's not me, you know.
There's the human Terry. I mean, there is this rumor that's gone around at different times that when you're saying, wait a minute, you're trying to think of what to say next, right?
No, I'm usually having an argument with the Elohim.
You are?
I'm trying to get something clarified.
Hey, wait a second, don't tell me this.
This conference is being recorded.
It's 6:06, July 24th, 2013, and this is our Wednesday night call, and we started talking before we turned the tape recorder on, and we were talking about putting your foot in your mouth, and then I had told Terry that there's a rumor going around when she says, wait a minute, when she's channeling, that she's trying to think, her human side is trying to think of what to say next. So I just threw that in her court, and I said, we should get this one recorded. So go ahead, Terry.
Well, yeah, it's usually I'm having some kind of a discussion with them, or like almost an argument sometimes, like when they say something that is 180 degrees out of the way I was thinking it would be. And then I say, are you sure about that? Then they say the same thing again. And we go through that about three times. And if they tell me three times the same thing, two things happen. I start to see the reasoning behind what they're saying. And then if they say it three times, I go ahead and I say it. But it's getting less and less because as I get in sync with them, then they come in and it just makes sense. And, it's like I'm not so much in my own mind, and then I can see the reasoning from their point of view.
Mm.
Like, so she, pardon?
Give me an example of the worst thing they ever told you to say that you didn't want to say.
I'm thinking of two different things. The first one is like the temperature of the Gulf. I had told it was warmer, and they were saying it was colder. I couldn't imagine that. And then there was another thing this was very, very hard. Because when we were on Darkness Radio, before all those thousands of people, and the guy asked the question, just, you know, what's the meaning of it was some kind of a French word that I never heard before. What's the meaning of this French word? And it's like, and tell us about that. And so the first layer was myself. Myself never heard of the word, didn't have a clue. So then I went and connected deeper. And the next level was there were actually people in the audience by that name, and the Elohim did not want what was coming up in answer to the question to go out over the air because all of those people with that name would think it applied to them, and it didn't apply to them because these, you know, what's the so-and-so. And it didn't apply to any of those people out there. So the Elohim said that. It didn't apply to any of them. And so then they presented me with a picture. A picture where if you have a cross, and the cross has threads going one way, and it has threads going perpendicular to that, and threads go one way, they presented as a bright blue, and the threads going the other way, they presented is red. And so the thread stands for ideas. So they have ideas, and the blue ideas were pure evil, but were changing and getting less evil. And the red were pure good with emotion, and the red were influencing the blue and changing the evil to good. And so they presented that to me. And meanwhile, I was saying, like, just a minute. And we were going through, like, Elohim and me were going through all that. And so then it was very interesting, because the week after that, they had the people that posed that question on the air, and they were talking about how they had gone to an area that was pure evil was inhabiting the place, and they were guy by this name, or this group by this name, dropped in and said they were changing it. So they were dealing with the pure evil. And so, but I didn't know any of that. But it was really interesting what was coming through. But I ended up, you know, taking a lot of time saying, well, just a minute, you know, and like, well, you know, I can see an answer, but we don't want this answer to apply to all the people in the audience by that name. And if we say it, they're going to think it applies to them because that's who they are, their name. And so that was really difficult to translate. And so I ended up, you know, with a kind of like, and I ended up saying, well, it's complex of more than, it's complex vanity with a complex of more than a different makeup. It's complex.
All right. Listen, and you know what? I announced tonight that we had room for questions. And I got a mountain of questions here.
Oh, I better shut up. Yeah,
you better
shut
up so we get to it.
And, okay.
You know, I'd like to say hello.
I think it's very interesting that you shared this, Terry, for us to get better insight.
Yeah.
Oh, I
think
yeah, because they're looking at 20,000 people out there and kind of trapping with them, then how are they going to respond to this answer? And there are certain people out there with this name, and how are they going to respond? And how can they give an accurate answer and not apply it to the wrong people? It's pretty interesting.
And then so you're kind of like a bystander at their meeting.
Exactly. Right. I'm the invisible person looking on.
Yeah. So, in any case, let us go right into this. And you know, Rick, if you're listening, I have a friend that's been emailing me who used to work with me years ago, and he's rediscovered me and wondering, who are these guys? Where are they coming from? Rick has been into metaphysical things all his life. So he knew me at another time in my life, and now I'm trying to figure it out. But he asked a question for tonight, and he's in L.A. We have a couple of things about L.A., Los Angeles, and I wanted to remind you that Vaughn, up till now, has been doing meetings at his in North Hollywood and inviting people on Sunday nights. Not Sunday night, Sunday morning to our grid healing call. And it's been really good. The energy is really high. People are hanging out, they're eating, and they're getting to meet each other. And believe it or not, doing things like, here's one of the things I have learned. A small group of people connected with these sources, really connected, can cause huge changes to occur. I think that's true. And, you know, so often everything seems so hopeless. We seem so overwhelmed. And I've said this before, that the negative has the advantage that they can lie, they can fool us, they can do all kinds of things to suck us in. But there's 10 times more positive than there is negative. And that's the advantage of the positive, that people will just make the connection and bring them into this realm, because they don't force themselves in this realm. They can't. There has to be a reaching for it. I think somebody asked last week, I think so, why don't the Elohim just show up and announce that they're here? Well, how the heck would anyone know they were the Elohim? And why should they believe them? That's the trick in this realm. Those of you who have been listening to our last two Monday calls, where we've talked about the Old Testament, and we've learned that a lot of the beings in the Old Testament were not the sources we're working with. They were ETs that took the role of gods and were actually vying for the attention of humans from somewhat of a low level. But nonetheless, I mean, people were very simple in those days. It's like, and these guys could do things like change weather. I mean, they do things like that now. And when you see people doing phenomena, it's easy to defer to them. Easy to give up your power. That's why it's like when phenomena happens, it usually happens in a way that, I wonder if that was coincidence or not. Somebody gets a healing, and then occasionally it goes over the edge where that had to be an intervention, okay? But the point is, that's not the that may attract somebody to look, but there's nothing here to control you. There's nothing here that says this is fear. That if you don't do this, you're disobeying God's will. Because as I get it, this whole thing of God's will is the highest level of God just wants us to love each other, okay? But they don't have the will that we should do that, that we have to choose to do it. And if we don't want to do it, that's too bad for us. Okay, we'll figure out where it goes. Okay? So, on that note, we have some really good questions for tonight. Let's get right to them. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now And do we have our sources present? Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra On, and today is the 24th of July, 2013. And we take a moment and we open to the energies of each and every person that wishes connection, wishes to communicate, wishes assistance. We are there and we hear you. Do you have questions?
Yes, this is from Juliet. And her question is, how in the world does one work through a helpless, desperate, wanting to just leave this world feeling? For so long I've struggled with this, and the world just feels like an endless knife of pain, always lacerating my heart. Thank you.
Thank you. We see that when you are in the energy of that, it propagates the energy of that, and there is a sphere or many spheres of other energies outside of that. So in order to move out of that, you need to physically, and we say physically, it's a manifest thing, the energy, to move the energy to, as you live your day, sense something with the bit of excitement, something with just a little bit of joy, something with a bit of interest, something that can capture your attention and move it outside of that common, ordinary life stream that of energy you've been sitting in. We see that energy is bounded. It has a boundary. And outside of that boundary of that energy, there are other energies. We see that within the boundary of that energy, it has been connected with other energies through resonance in the earth plane. So that even though it has a boundary about it, that it is increased in resonance by other energies that are similar. And we understand the frustration of being in that energy because there is not a sure-footed, trusted connection to something supportive there. So this is another clue to find some supportive energy and to do it carefully, check it out very carefully, and take your time so that you do not move into another energy that is captivating but is not supportive. You need something that is very supportive of you, something that can take your interest for a minute, and you start with just a minute, just to envision it, just for a small instant even, when you can begin to get the idea of another energy and really get it, then that is the beginning of seeing a path through the energies that you are sitting in. We recommend finding areas where you feel supported and where your interest feels supported by something exciting in the world, something interesting in the world. You may pick a movie and move out of your energy, move with the energy of the movie. A supportive teaching movie, exciting, that makes you feel better. And get as many of those experiences, even if they're fleeting, for a little bit. And then begin to see your way out of the energy that has been so all-encompassing.
Yeah. We have a question here from Dharmananda. And is the quantum energy field what the Christians call the Holy Spirit? If not, what is the difference between them? And let me make a couple comments there. We've kind of asked about this, and particularly the Trinity. And it was a really interesting answer, because if you've been tracking our work, there was a connection indicated in our work, even in Wilcox's work, between Jesus and the Ra group. And that, you know, the goal of these group souls is, as I see it, to create bridges of where their energy can be linked into this realm in a way that people can feel it. Because when that occurs, it becomes a DNA activation. It becomes like evolution. Evolution of an individual. And of course, we can experience that. We can evolve by feeling the love of another person, the love of a family. But when the love comes in from the higher realms, it's special. And no one can take it from you. Once you make that connection, you can access it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy the human sides of love. You should. But you always have some place to go back to. So the goal was to create an anchor for a bridge from higher love. And they created an energetic construct. Someday we may ask some questions about this. They created an energetic construct of three points, which ended up being the Trinity, which would be that energy that would come into the space that I believe that Christians would call the Holy Spirit. And so it was a focused energy by intent, and not just the quantum energy field, which is everywhere, but not necessarily focused. And I'll turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Thank you. There are various shades of areas. Excuse me. Jim, could you go to your room? I'm channeling. Give us a moment to get back into session.
Let's bring back the energy. Shall I repeat the question?
Give us a moment. Let us answer, and then you can ask questions. We see that there are various supportive energies at various octaves, at various frequencies, at various colors, all-encompassing. We see that these can be modified to connect with the particular individual. We see that within the Christ consciousness energy, there are shades of the energies from the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these are woven together, and these are available for support within the earth realm. And we even refer back to the answer to the first question, as these energies can be very supportive when one is in another sort of an energy and looking for an upliftment. there are the Elohim energies, which are even higher in frequency and do not contain all of the frequencies that are in the Christ consciousness. There are resonances within the Christ consciousness that as we move into the higher frequencies are left behind, and we end up with an arena of pure love, pure love. These are available for support for those that can experience it, and it contains the color pink. The Christ consciousness contains other colors too besides pink, which are associated with those particular energies that are emanated from the Christ consciousness and can be resonated within the person by the persons looking and asking, and can be very supportive of a person in their daily life. And many churches are bringing in the Christ consciousness. Does this shed some light on your question?
Yes, thank you. Let's ask Heise's question. And he got shocked by electricity worse than ever before. And he, for those of you who don't know, Heise is an electrician. 277 volts got into my right index finger while pushing a fixture connector back together. So it was more than a quick touch. I was able to shake it off and continue the work. But a few days later, the tiny white burned spot turned black, and my right elbow got swollen. Is the swelling possibly related to the shock? And whatever the cause of the swelling, could you give it all some a healing attention? And then he says, go ahead, we'll just stop right there.
Thank you. There was too high of a current, and that was meeting the resistance at the elbow in the arm and has caused some damage at the site, and then caused some jamming or disruption within the elbow. You can place your elbow and your hand and your arm in water with ice in it and be one with the arm and allow it to cool, and then take your arm out and monitor yourself the pain. We take a look again at the elbow and see that some of the capillaries, some of the transmitters in the lymph area have been burned, and picture those as healing. And as we talk, we are working in your arm. When one has a burn such as yours, it is important to stop for a few minutes, as you did, and to send love and healing. Just picture all of the cells that are involved as dissipating the burn and normalizing. And the more, the quicker you do it after the burn, the easier it is for the cells to normalize. You may also take your healing wand and move that up and down both arms to help get the energy moving and report back to us on your progress.
Thank you. Question. This is from Shri in Chicago, and he asks, who is Krishna, and was he related to the sources that we're working with? I added the second part, okay? For those of you who don't know, Krishna was an Indian kind of Christ figure that is worshipped as an incarnation of God in a body. Some of you have heard the Krishna movement, Hare Krishna, it's all connected to Krishna. I believe the Hindus use Krishna as their messianic symbol. Thank you.
Thank you. This channel does not have vocabulary. It is an icon wherein the individuals connected with the movement are tapped into the beliefs of the movement, and there was an actual person, and they have glorified his function and have deified it, and they are using it within their religious function and envisioning the energy of Krishna and spreading the energy of Krishna throughout their daily life. Thank you.
Is there any reason why all the pictures of Krishna show him to be blue?
Give us a moment. As we see, this is something that was adapted to distinguish him from the other deities. And blue is at of a higher frequency than the some of the other colors, like red or orange. And that it placed him at a vantage point of bringing in more of the upper chakras. Yet they also used complementary colors in their rituals.
Is this connected with what some metaphysical people call the blue ray?
The blue ray is at a very high level, and this is connected, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Question from Rick, who lives in L.A. and I know Rick for a long time. And even when we knew each other, he used to say, "Uh-oh, there's an earthquake this weekend. We better leave town. I'm storing up my food." And so he asked the question about, are there any high probability vortices for an earthquake in the near future in Los Angeles? And when people are coming together in high groups, like the group that's meeting in North Hollywood, does that have any impact on deferring earthquakes?
Thank you. It has been forecast or predicted for tens of years that there would be a large earthquake in L.A., and there have been earthquakes in L.A. of the 4.5 and 5 magnitudes, and formerly of 6.4 and 7.1, and the Northridge earthquake. So at various times, the area does release. We see a continuing of a pattern similar to that. We see also that there are groups in the area that are praying to bring the magnitude of earthquakes within the LA area down. Evelyn Pagnini is praying. You might not call it praying. It is divining that there will be less magnitude of earthquakes in the area, and other very powerful people in the area are working to modify the vibrations of any potential earthquakes. So it does, the area does have a lot of help in its potential for earthquakes. We see other factors that are working for moderation of earthquakes that have technology beyond anything that the earthling, thermal earthling would imagine. So we do not see any huge disaster. We see release in small to medium and even like up to 6. That is within the area. When we look wider, then with earthquakes and tsunami, there are potentials for 6 point and above in some areas around the Pacific that could potentially create a tsunami September or late August. But we do not wish to spread fear, and this is also changeable. So we say join the energies out here that are working for equilibrium and moderation in the area. So once you join these, then any predictions can be off and can be modified.
Thank you. Are there areas that we should focus on in our Sunday grid healing regarding this?
Alaska. Japan. New Zealand, Chile.
Thank you. Okay, next question. This is from W.M. Stevenson in Brooklyn, and he asks, what are our sources' expectations of us who are regularly on this call? And I would make, let me make a comment before I turn it over to them. As I get it, many of you, because of your connection with these energies, have potentials to be of higher service one way or another. And there's a free will thing here where you have to kind of come up with how you're going to do that. You know, one of the things from my point of view is I see that I wished I had more time and energy because I see that I could help organize things like I did a little bit in Los Angeles with Vaughn, but I did it because Vaughn was so keen to do something. And it's not about me wanting to do it. When somebody wants to do something, it's easy to give them support. But if I have to initiate it, then it's me doing it, and people think they're doing it for me, and they're not. So when people have an idea of doing something, it's like there can be support rallied around that from the higher forces and from humans. But it's kind of like it seems to me that we have to make the first move. In other words, these calls, everything we're doing, is not because they expected me to do something. It's because I made the first move, and I kept making moves, and then I found there was supportiveness. So look at what the move you can make. Even two people coming together and meditating and calling in the light is serious business and work. And oftentimes, from a worldly standpoint, it seems like a waste of time. So it's kind of like you have to integrate the reality of it so that you're willing to make a move and then let the universe support it. And that's my take. And let me turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. Your question, we smile. The question is, the expectations that we have are the expectations that you have. Expectation is tied in with intention and helps create the intention that you have to progress in what your path is and for change and growth. So what you expect, what you set for yourself, what you desire, what you hope for, what you are your goals, we back you when it is for the highest good. And we help you as we are for you. And we are there to assist you, if no other way, then energetically or providing synchronicities when we can. We are out there rooting for you, and you are the one that sets your path. Thank you.
There was one really good image that was given in one of the sessions we've done where it's like riding a bicycle, where if you have a bicycle and you don't pedal, nothing happens. But if you pedal, you can go much further than walking, for example, because the energy transfers through the chain to the rear wheel and it's amplified as opposed to walking. And the Elohim said that was an analogy about how they worked with us. But it's like we're on the bicycle, and they're the chain and the rear wheel. that can increase the impact of our pedaling, but we have to pedal. And if you're just passive, nothing happens. Even if you have a bicycle and great gears, if you don't pedal, you don't go anywhere. And next question. We're rattling them off tonight. There's a person that was really, and they wanted to be anonymous, that was really under the weather with a lot of debt and a lot of financial stuff. And they were asking, is this karmic? Is there karma attached to it? And why are they going through it?
Thank you. Part of it is the expectation that you have of what can be done. Just by virtue of your question, it has placed you in an energetic box within an area of debt, an area of not enough, an area of lack, and that energy keeps recycling, recircling. So to just take a look in your area around you and get the energy of somebody that doesn't have that idea of lack. You know, that can say, look, I know the economy is tough, but we can make it work. We can build our own finances. Somebody that feels that way, that is not in the boundary, within the boundary of that, it's difficult. There's too many bills and there's not enough money coming in. And we realize that that is a circumstance that helps to maintain and stabilize and tap down this energy of there not being enough. However, within your own framework to expose yourself to another person that doesn't feel that way. And then just for an instant, get the idea of how they feel. Step into their energy track for an instant and see how it feels to have enough to be able to pay all the bills. Put that picture up for your own self. Picture, all right, it's all reversed around and paying the bills, and now we have money coming in. Now, once you get the vision of that, then you can see building, bootstrapping onto that energy, that what rivulets move out into the surroundings, into your community, wherein you can step into that energy stream, that monetary stream. How can you move into it? And once you envision that and step out of your lack boundary and step into that, there is an income of energy flow, and that can bring the idea of money in and the idea of having enough and getting through everything. And once you can get that idea, then the universe can begin to give you synchronicities as you search out the energy rivulets connected to having enough.
Thank you.
I'm back.
Are you back? Okay. Last question for tonight. And we had a lot of good questions. And, if you know, Lori about personal prayers getting her out of the hospital. Probably that was so, but ask it again next week, okay? That's what I get for telling people to ask questions. And Cindy, who had a vision, let me see here. But the last question for tonight is from Melina, and she asks, what is the key reason why I have this fat suit on? And I want to make a comment. I knew a guy who was an awesome spiritual teacher, and all the people around him were overweight. He had a lot of women that were, and they were really together. They were really loving. And I remember he said they were all very sensitive and that their overweight was part of the way they protected their energy. That's what he said. But let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say. Thank you.
Thank you. There is a heaviness, if you get our meaning, the feeling of having something, the feeling of encompassing something solid, of being something solid. And we don't wish to say the word imposing. We wish to say the word expressing existence. And it feels, and you're the one that is the true test of what you feel. And see if it feels like every bit of that fat is expressive of a mold or a existence, being in a way of being, an expression of existence. And don't beat yourself up over the fat suit. And just observe it. For when your reasons for having the fat suit dissipate, then the fat suit will dissipate.
Thank you. Let's see here. Oh, hi, is this sending emails that dinner is, he's back, he had dinner. And on that note, it is 6:58, and it's time to say goodbye to everybody. Thank you, BBS, for letting us to go over a couple minutes. And from the Unmutual, thank you all who sent in questions today. And send in more next week. You know, this is, you know, by asking a question about something going on for you, and so, you know, you might think it's dumb. Some of the people, you know, ask personal questions, but just by asking the question, it starts to amplify your connection with the higher realms, and so this is a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of that. And not have to spend any money for a reading or whatever. So our Sunday call is our most important call, and we hope that you will be there Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You'll see events and a tab that says Event Spirit Channel, and that list our events. And a week from this Saturday, we're going to do Session 6 of the Law of One material with Carla. So keep that in mind. We haven't sent anything out yet, and we'll see you next time.
Unmuted.
We are
Thank
unmuted.
So
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for
answering my question.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks,
welcome, everybody. Have a
Thanks,
great
Wynn
week.
And Terry.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Terry.
Message for us all.
Hey, Terry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder, can you clarify a couple of things that you said? I'm not sure what you said. You were talking about Heise's arm. Did you say something about a healing wand, like a magic wand kind of thing?
Yeah.
So there's such a thing as a healing wand?
Yes.
Maybe you guys could talk about that sometime.
Send an email, okay?
Okay.
And, okay.
Well, I understand you asked my questions. I'm anxious to hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
You missed your answer, huh?
I'll be listening.
All right. Okay.
And
Terry, you
were talking about earthquakes. Did you say the name Evelyn Paglini, the witch lady? Oh, so you didn't know about her then, huh?
What?
They talked about her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been on Coast to Coast a number of times. She's pretty awesome.
Terry listens to Coast to Coast every night. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't listen every night.
Not every night.
Well, pretty often.
Uh-huh.
I think when Terry has something in her mind, they get it in their mind because they're sitting in Terry's mind, so they know about it.
Right, synchronicity.
Yeah. Your conference recording has stopped.
I don't know. Did you hear the other night when Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was on?
No, I didn't. What happened?
She's awesome. Well, she's a really great doc. She's an activist, anti-vaccination and things. And I just happened to learn she actually lives near Cleveland. I didn't know that until I heard that. So maybe we have a problem. I'm going to go talk to her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and one other thing. You know, you talked about a French word that you got, the fabric one, the weaving and thing. Was that word T-O-U-S-E-D?
No.
I was reading a couple pages of the Creator God before I went to sleep last night, and on page 50, you were talking about the word toast. You said we are toast. And I looked at the dictionary; it wasn't in there.
I think toast means upset. Okay.
Maybe it's a French word because it's not it wasn't in my dictionary.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's all I want to know. Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Our pleasure.
Okay.
Hey, Wynn and Terry. Hi, it's Peggy Huntington. I listened to Coast to Coast the other night and wanted to get Wynn in touch with Robert Stanley, who was on. Did Terry? Did you listen to him? It was
I didn't.
Two nights ago. Well, it was absolutely frightening. I don't know if you want me to tell you right now, but I think he needs to get on the show, and he need to get together. He's an investigative journalist, and he's very close to some ETs, and he said we've already been taken over, and the shadow government is running the show now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's happening, and I would sure like, if it's possible, when he said the ETs are running the show, they said, but there are some of the good guys, the good ETs, that have been trying to get in. And I certainly see the Elohim as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we could send a cloud to the Ra and root for Ra and Elohim to keep on keeping on. Because
You know what? I think one of the things is, I think next time I'm on Coast, it's going to be amazing, all right?
Good.
And send your letters to George and say, when is Wynn going to be on again? Because, we've come, how can I say it? When I was on last time, you know, we had a fairly small group. And believe me, it was a little scary to have suddenly thousands of people.
Yeah.
And having these great expectations that I didn't, how am I going to fulfill everyone's expectations? How can I do it? And, you know, since the time, I think, you know, I've gotten better at understanding how to do this and work with larger groups. And I feel ready for 100,000 people. Okay.
Yay.
Wow.
Yay. That's good.
Wow.
Wynn, do you have any kind of a hint of something that you could be talking about that we could mention if we emailed George that might get his attention? Or?
Well, I think the response and what's happened with all the people that have come on the calls that have hung in there, that are still here, that are having, I mean, I'd like to talk about that. You know, it's like there is a war going on in heaven. And
yes.
it's not clear that what you said is not true. That, in a sense, there's a huge amount of control of this realm by the negative. And it's like, it's work like we're doing that I think can wrest that control. You know, as I see it, there's two outcomes. One is that you graduate this realm, and then you're out of it, okay? And you're somewhere else. And the other is that enough people can bring in the light of the higher energies, and we transform the realm, okay? And
That's good. I think that we need to know how we can help Ra do
right
to beat the negative.
Well, we need people to help do a lot of this work has so much mundane stuff attached to it.
Yeah.
And we have volunteers. We need more volunteers to do transcriptions.
Yeah.
I need people that are good at organization that actually can hold up the energy. I'm doing the best I can, and my highest role is to get out and be talking about this to more people. And it's like having more money, having more freedom, having people volunteering. It's all the little things that make the big things, you know? It's
just
like
keep getting into that energy,
yeah.
As they say.
My lottery ticket didn't win.
Your lottery ticket.
So
That's not
Sunday healing, but because I bought 10 lottery tickets, and I was trying to see if we could get the Elohim to make one a winner.
Right.
Didn't win, so that's
off. I don't know if you remember in the Creator God book when I was first adapting and we were really destitute and they had predicted the newspaper headline. I said, can you guys help me with the horse races? they said, well, it would just send you back into patterns of previous lifetimes, which would be, and you know what? I can understand why they wouldn't do that with me. I mean, I understand it now because I would become addicted to the horse races. And I'd be making money. And then everyone else would say, well, help us make money. And it's
it'll be negative.
It may not be totally negative, but it's like it turns it into acquisitiveness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
it would really detract from your time, I mean, to do the spiritual stuff. So
yeah, to be down at the horse races every day, right?
Anchoring the light at the track.
Well, after a while, I can.
Last week, flying from Las Vegas airport, and she had a delay, and she made over $1,000 for the gambling at the airport.
Did you tell her she's supposed to donate some to us?
I'm going to go for that.
I know she's not. Well, hey, when?
Talking about going on the Coast to Coast show, I'm actually one of those people who heard you a year ago.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
I remember that night. I was sitting there just crocheting, and my angel said to me, I need you to turn the radio on and listen to Coast to Coast.
Is that Donna? Is that Donna, by the way?
Yeah, it's Donna. I did what the angel said, and sure enough, you came on, Wynn, and I was listening to you, and I said, okay, God, what is it you want me to know here? And it just started from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in, and I've stayed with you over a year now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. And I know you've changed since you've been here. But, you know, I'm sure she'll have me on again. I know that I had a good response. But, you know, I was ready to be on once a month. But the woman that does the booking has to look good. And she didn't want to look like she was favoritizing me or anything like that. And she said, usually it takes a year. I mean, she was very generous. I mean, I was on one time for an hour, and then a month later I was on one time for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then I was on for 10 minutes. So I was on three times, and I wasn't going to push it any further. And I just thought I'd leave some space. But I just feel the next time I'm on, it's going to go through the roof. And, you know, all the people that have been listening to our call since then will start calling up and sharing their experiences. And that's going to make other people want to say, I want to check that out, you know? You know, basically, we'll be holding the energy for the new people, okay? And when you see how you changed and how this has worked for you, when you see it, when you see your own trajectory, you'll have the understanding and compassion to hold the space for new people to come in so they can have that trajectory. And so we can change the world, okay?
I agree.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So
I agree with you on that. When I do know from own personal experience, I can always feel something building up to get ready to happen. So everything happens in its own time and space. And to do that, that's hard. And
you know, there's a saying that goes, and I've been quoting this, you can't get any bigger than your basket will hold. So what we've been doing is building our
basket for 2 weeks now.
Building our basket. Like what we're doing now is building the basket, because
my basket,
we're
so small.
We're going to have to hold the energy as a group for all these new people. Do you know what I'm saying? And
yep.
And we're building our basket by, you know, we're doing our pendant business, and it's getting more successful, so we're making money, and we're getting systems together and databases so that, you know, we can kind of anchor it better. So in any case, thank you all for being part of it, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you.
Have you
all.
You too, Terry.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you.